pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the rain, Father, that refreshes. And Father, we just thank you for the rain that you are pouring in each one of our hearts here as we bask in your presence, Lord. Thank you for being so faithful to us in every aspect. Thank you for life, health, provision, protection. And now, Father, we ask for the bread of life, for our hearts to be fed. And we thank you for your presence and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start with some scripture. This is not my message. It was just an added to bonus. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus was talking to the crowd, and he was instructing them, and he says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whomever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now, today, Jason requested to be baptized, and we are going to do so, weather permitting. Now, Jason. Jaden. I'm sorry. Did I say Jason? I didn't say Jaden. Okay. Jaden, forgive me if he's here or not. Now, as my wife said, he was dedicated when he was just an infant. And lo and behold, 12 years later, here he is asking to be baptized. That's God's faithfulness. Now, he is fulfilling scripture. The commission that Jose read a while ago, Jesus told his disciples, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I taught you." And so, he is heeding the commission, and he wanted to be baptized. He is going to confess Jesus before every one of us attending the baptismal. So my question to you is, are you an undercover Christian? Have you been baptized in a public place where people can see? Not only see, but understand what you're doing? That you are declaring, "I belong to Jesus, and I am being obedient to him by baptizing myself." Well, somebody baptizing me in the name of Jesus so that everyone knows that I belong to Jesus. Do you declare Jesus as your Savior to those around you? Again, Jesus doesn't like undercover Christians. He wants us to tell others. And so, just as Jaden is going to do that today, we need to be vocal about our belief. Believe in Christ. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said, if we declare him to others around us, then he will declare our name before his Father. But then he added, if you don't declare my name to others, then I won't declare your name to the Father. And He sits in heaven making intercession for all of us constantly. He lives doing that. And so be bold about declaring who you belong to and who is your Savior. Declare that message to others who need to hear it. But whether they need to hear it or not, you need to say it. So that was the bonus for this morning. So I'm going to go to my main message today. And you know, I have been teaching for a very long time. But this message today falls in the category of one of the most important messages that I would ever preach. So I would like for you to pay attention and try to understand, because it's a very important message. It may be simple to you, but it's one of the most important ones. So, when God created Adam and Eve, He created them as legitimate children of God. They rightfully belong to God, right? We understood that. God breathed on them His Spirit, and they became living beings. So God was not only their creator, God was also their father. They were created in the image of God with many of God's attributes. In fact, God told Adam, He said, increase, multiply, subdue the earth, have dominion over earth living creatures. You see, this thing about subduing and having dominion, this is a God thing. God rules the universe, and He wants His children to rule over their affairs. You and I are called to rule over our environment, not that the environment would rule over us. God has called that for us. Because man was made from the earth, you know, God took earth and fashioned a body and then breathed on him. So God made man from the earth to live on the earth. And God made man in three different parts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Apostle Paul is giving a blessing to the Thessalonians. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul is saying, your spirit, your soul, and body as a whole, God wants it to be presented at the coming of Jesus Christ. So he talks about three different parts that we're made up. Now the spirit of man has the image of God, because God is a spirit, and we are spirit beings as well. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so we spirit beings have fellowship with the Father when our spirits are alive, and I will get into that in a little bit. That's the spirit part. Then, according to Scripture, man has a soul. Is a part of man that is uniquely distinguishing one man from another. We have different. We all have souls, but those souls manifest differently. Those souls manifest in our personalities, our character, our demeanor, all these things that are not necessarily touchable and tangible, but they are part of your personality. The soul is where the mind, the will, the emotions, and the intellect of man are found. This is a soul part of us. And then the third part of man is man lives in a physical body. This body is subject to the laws of the physical world. The physical body is also unique as the soul is. As a matter of fact, no two physical bodies are exactly alike. That's why they use DNA to tell who is who. And they use your thumbprints or your fingerprints because they are unique to everyone living. And now, you know, if you're fancy enough and have money enough, you can use retinal scanning, you know, to keep open places, open safes. You know, well, I see that in the movies. I don't know if that's real or not, but I think it is. Probably the president just sticks his eye on the screen. Yeah, you're the president. Those things are unique because every physical body is different. Man, the variety of bodies all over the world, past, present, and future, we're all made a little different from one another. There's not another George around like me, and thank God for that. I know, you're going to say it, so I jump on it. Now, God had told Adam not to eat of a particular tree within the Garden of Eden. As you know the story, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, this is what God said. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and the man here we're talking about is Adam, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, when God spoke this, God and Adam were in perfect fellowship. They talked to each other, they walked together. Well, at least Adam walked, I don't know. But there was communion, there was fellowship, there was time spent together, and they talked with one another. But then God gave Adam a command, so that Adam could exercise his free will and make a choice. You see, God wanted mankind to love God for who he is. Amen. Not because people are forced or made without a choice. God doesn't want robots. So God gave Adam a choice, which involved a command with consequences if they were disobeyed. God said that a violation of that command would bring death. And this death meant, first, the fellowship with God would be broken. God would no longer desire to talk to you as much as he did before. Fellowship is broken, just like, you know, you may have a good friend that you talk all the time. All of a sudden, you have a spout between the two, and then you don't want to talk to the other one. Fellowship is broken. He's still your friend, but you don't like him that much. But this relationship went a little further than that. Not only fellowship was broken, there was a change in Adam's nature. Adam and Eve. He said that this death would mean a total transformation of man's spirit and soul and body. And one of the things that entailed was God was not any longer going to be man's father. The death experienced by the disobedience would affect man's spirit immediately, and God would cease to be his father. the soul also would be afflicted with negative consequences. And we see that in Adam and Eve. They had fear. They had shame. They had selfishness. They had blame. Those were new things. They were not experienced before, and they were negative things. So their soul was affected. Their bodies, which were created to live forever, would start deteriorating until that body would eventually die. It would give up. So as we see in Genesis chapter 3, where the temptation came and Adam and Eve fell for the temptation, Adam and Eve listened to Satan's words, which were in complete contradiction to God's word. And they chose to obey those lies, disregarding what God had already told them and warned them about eating the forbidden fruit. And because they acted on Satan's words legally, they became Satan's children with their new father and his nature, his fallen nature. So there was a legal transaction that happened in the spirit. God stopped being Adam and Eve's father, and Satan became Adam and Eve's father because Adam and Eve disobeyed the word of God and decided to listen to Satan's word. That was a free will. God allowed that. And so, if you remember, God had already established some laws to govern his creation before this happened. In Genesis chapter 4, there you go. God had already said, in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Genesis says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And then in verse 24, again God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And verse 25 continues, and God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So this principle of God's creation meant that every individual animal that God made, they would multiply and create others of the same kind. So a dog would not multiply into a cat. There was no such thing. A dog would always procreate and have dogs. A cow would have cows or bulls. A horse would have another horse, etc. This also applied to man. It was a law when everything was right. God had already designed and decreed that this is the way nature will multiply itself. So this law of God for the multiplication of nature would apply to man's multiplication. And since we saw that Adam and Eve fell, and then they conceived, their offspring would have the nature of the parents, right? Which in this case was a fallen nature. Just like Adam and Eve's father, adoptive father, who was a fallen being himself. So, here we got Adam and Eve, spiritually dead people, begetting spiritually dead offsprings. And the more and the more and the more. So after Adam and Eve sinned, everyone who is born separated from God. This is what we call spiritually dead. And their legal father happens to be Satan. That's why Jesus called Satan the God of this world. We are of the world, a fallen world. And at this point, before Jesus' sacrifice, we all belong to the devil. Scripture seems to indicate that Satan and all the angels were created before Adam and Eve. God, in his perfect justice, declared that neither Satan nor the fallen angels would have redemption, ever. There's no hope for Satan and his angels. But because of God's justice, God declared that Adam and Eve had the right to be purchased by him. See, God in his justice, we can't forget that justice is infinitely just. And what we may think is not fair, God knows what justice is all about. He invented it. He is God's justice. Our justice, what we think of justice, is skewed. We don't know all the details, but God knows. And so he's a righteous God, and he will not do any injustice ever. So there is no redemption for Satan and his angels, fallen angels. But for Adam and Eve, God said, they were tempted, I am going to redeem them. And he started a plan. And God said, there's going to be another Adam. In fact, he called him the last Adam. This is why it is so important to understand the greatness and the importance of the virgin birth. You see, Satan wants to negate that. But see, the virgin birth, as you know, it is the father who transfers the blood to the son. The son would have the blood of the father, okay? Or the daughter would have the blood of the father. Genealogy comes primarily from the father. And so, if this last Adam was going to be like the original Adam, he couldn't be part of the genealogy of the first Adam. And so God said, I am going to choose a woman, and I am going to use her to create a body in her belly, but I'm not going to be allowing man to be the one who gives a seed. God himself. And you see in the book of Luke, you see that the angel comes to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and that which is created in you is of God. Man is not involved. Therefore, the seed of man is not passed to this last Adam, which we're talking about Jesus Christ, right? So this new Adam, this last Adam, Jesus Christ, was perfectly obedient to all that God would require of him. Then, because of his obedience, this last Adam would be able to be a substitute for the punishment awaiting fallen mankind. You see, the scripture is very clear that says, after that, there is a judgment. And because we have all sinned, if nothing changes, the judgment when we die is eternal separation from God in a suffering hell forever. Amen. So, this last Adam comes in. He is obedient to the Father in every aspect. Satan comes and tempts him here, tempts him there. and he just uses all kinds of temptations against Jesus. And Jesus say, away from me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. I came to do the will of my Father. And unlike the first Adam, Jesus was obedient in every request of the Father. And then he did something unique. He said, Father, I want to be a substitute for mankind. I want to pay the price that mankind is supposed to pay because they have all sinned against you. They all have a fallen nature. There's no fellowship with you. There's no life in their spirit. They're spiritually dead. And you want them alive. So I am willing to suffer that punishment for all of mankind. And so he does. He submits himself to physical death, suffering, affliction. And then he stays 3 days in a grave. And scripture is not very clear about what happens during those 3 days. But I have a feeling that he went and suffered in hell in 3 days what we were supposed to suffer in an eternity, all of us. He experienced what we should have experienced. And so, God had established another principle. See, God works with his principles. And he had established another principle. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the prophet of God spoke the words of God, and God was saying, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. And then he says, the soul who sins shall die. And then in verse 5 he said, but if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, jump to verse 9, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgment faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. God had already established that law. And so Jesus, the righteous one who didn't fail in any little jot or tittle of the word, he submits himself to the punishment of the enemy. And God said, he is faithful. He has walked in my statutes. He has kept my judgment faithfully. He is just, and he shall surely live. And so God raised Jesus from all that pain, the grave, got him out of hell, and gave him a name which is above every name. Disobedience brought death to Adam, to the human race. But obedience to God will bring life again through Jesus to those who will receive life by faith in Jesus as Savior. So Jesus rises from the dead and declares to everyone, all authority has been given to me. Jose read that scripture this morning, unbeknownst to him. But the Spirit of God knew that we were going to talk about this today, because it's a very important thing. Jesus received all authority. Amen. On heaven and earth. We are all fallen creatures separated from God. And God said, I want you to become my sons and my daughters once again. That's right. And he says, Jesus paid for what you needed to pay because of your sin. He's already paid. If you want to be restored to me, all you have to do is receive the sacrifice that Jesus did for you.
Amen. Amen.
Notice that he didn't say, you have to go and suffer many days and fast and weep and cry and do without food and hurt yourself and all of those kind of things. There is no other name given unto man but Jesus in order for you to be saved. You can talk about Buddha all you want, Muhammad, saints, any other man or woman. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can be religious and go to a church and do all kinds of crazy things or good things. But one thing is required of each one of us. In fact, there was, in the time of Jesus, there was a guy. He was a Pharisee. And he heard Jesus talking. And, you know, Pharisees were bad guys at that time. They just wanted their position. They didn't care about God or anything. They just wanted their position and their income. And so this guy heard Jesus and he was moved in his heart. And he wanted to go talk to him, but he didn't want his buddies to hear about it. So he went by night to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. Yes. And he went to Jesus by night and started talking to him and asking him questions. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was saying, what? Do I have to go into my mother's womb and be born again? Remember, we are a triune being. We have a spirit. We have a soul. We live in the body. We can be born of the body we all have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But our spirit without Jesus is dead, separated from God. You want your whole being to be part of what God intended. And so we're born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're all flesh. Is our spirit alive? Have you been born again? And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must. He doesn't even say he should. He said, you must. If you want to be with God forever and see, our spirit are created to be eternal. And we'll have a new body, whether in hell or in heaven. And by the way, those are the only two options. Sorry. There's no other place. There's no such thing as purgatory anymore. You either go to heaven or you end up in hell separated from God. So, we all, each and every one of us, need to be born again because we all inherited the fallen nature of Adam. So if you have not received Jesus as your personal Savior, then your spirit is dead. This is what God said, not what I say. And so if you're not born again, you need to. If you want to spend eternity in heaven rather than in hell, and I said those are the only two options. And yes, there is eternity. We all feel it. Sometimes we say, ah, this life will be done and what? Listen, God would not spend all his love, all his care to create this universe and then create such a perfect being in his likeness for him to last 100 years and then disappear and be nothing. God is way smarter than that. He wants you to live forever. And he is giving you and me a choice, just like he gave Adam. Are we going to say yes? And see, he provided a way. He said, if Jesus becomes your Savior, if you ask him to be your representative, then he will go to the Father and say, yes, he sinned. Yes, she sinned. But I paid already their price. So they received me as their representative. I ask you, adopt them again. And he does.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you need to. Because if you don't, when you die, you will personally have to pay the penalty for the sins you have committed and forever be separated from God. See, there is no redemption after death for the one that dies without Jesus. Jesus already paid for you, but you need to receive freely his payment in your behalf by faith. By believing that he died for you and you receive him as your Savior.
Thank you.
You know, today would be a great day for you to receive Jesus as your Savior. See, who we call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus, we all had to do this. We didn't inherit Christianity. There's no such thing. Every single one of us has to decide. Do I make Jesus Lord of my life? Or do I pay for the sins that I commit on my own? Up to each one of us. So as musicians come in, I ask, based on what I have taught this morning, are you born again? Or are you still a son and a daughter of the first Adam who was separated from God because of disobedience? And see, we are his offspring. We need to make that decision if we want to live eternally in heaven or wherever the Lord takes us, which is going to be another interesting teaching. But for now, suffice to say, this is the most important message that I could preach to you. If you don't get this, there's no point in talking about anything else. And so, just like Jesus said, go and teach all nations the things that I have shared with you. And then he says, lo, I am with you until the end of the age. So Father, I thank you for giving us the instruction in your word regarding salvation. And Lord, I pray that every ear that has heard this message has been touched by your word. And Father, there is an opportunity to make a clear decision based on your truth. I pray you compel people to make Jesus Lord of their lives so that they can be adopted and receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now worship.